So here we are in Shavuot Shechalbo. Tisha B'Av looms large. It could be that the most apropos briskerav to dive into tonight would be the latter of the two briskeravs in Hilchos Tanis. He deals with the dinim of Tisha B'Av and of the hours, if not days, that lead up to Tisha B'Av in terms of Erev Tisha B'Av, and begins to talk about, as his nephew, the Rav, spoke about it at perhaps a greater length, about the extent to which the different levels of Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av related Avelis correspond to the different levels of Avelis Chadasha, Avelis for a relative who passes away, Rechman Son. So it could be that would be the most directly apropos briskerav to dig into the dinim lemaisa that will be coming up. But I think we take a positive spin instead. And instead of looking at briskerav, who talks about the dinim of avelos as they are, the Rambam puts the avelos yishana, the old avelos that we have increasingly over these weeks and days of the Beis HaMikdash we have long missed. When instead, especially since we Baruch Hashem the summer learned Masechet Megillah, so we'll take a look at the second briskerav in the series that will bring us back to Sugya in Masechet Megillah, and it's also very apropos in Yom Yoma in the positive sense, because a big part of this, many of us have been talking about, thinking about a big part of the avoda for us in this these days, this week, is to reconnect to what we're missing. Matter of fact, that nusach I just used, which is from the Ramban in his Sefer Avelos, Taurus Adam, Avelos Chadasha versus Avelos Yishana. Avelos, Rachman, son of Jew, loses a close relative. That's a new Avelos, a fresh Avelos, recent loss. Avelos in this time of the year, our national Avelos for a missing Mikdash, is an old Avelos. It's an Avelos Yishana. Ramban writes, Avelos Chadasha starts very intensely and gradually the dinim of Avelos lessen. Shiva is the most intense, and then Shloshim Yibet Chodesh for relative, whereas Avelos Yishana, our Avelos for Mikdash, it's started with a little bit, it's been building. Minig Ashkenaz, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, now we have Shavua Shechalbo, then there's the Suda Mafsekes, Erev Tisha B'Av afternoon, and then Tisha B'Av itself. Rabban explains, I think some of us had the chance to discuss this the first week of Kol. Rabban explains that in a normal, healthy, and tragic situation, the emotional reaction to Avelos Chadasha doesn't need to be prompted by the dinim. A person in a situation where there's a relatively healthy family dynamic, a person loses a relative, so the You feel the sense of loss. It starts intense, and the halacha gives us structure for how it moves through different stages. So it starts with the most intense, and then reduces as time goes on. Here, it's not a davar pasha to feel avelos. It's an avoda. I don't naturally feel that I'm missing something. I need to use last week's word. I need to inculcate it. I need to cultivate a sense of there's something that I'm missing. I need to cultivate a sense of mikdash. You need to cultivate a sense that there's kedusha out there, there's yachas to Kadosh Baruch Hu that's available that I haven't yet tapped into. So both because this is a briskerav that brings us back to Maseches Megillah, and because this is a briskerav that brings us to think in substantive ways about different levels of kedushas hamikdash. So we'll turn our attention to the closing briskerav in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Rambam, the two of his 14 Svarim of the Mishnah Torah are about Karbonos, Sefer Avodah, Sefer Karbonos. And the Rambam Kedarko arranged things in very logical order. It was successful in Pashur. That was one of the Rambam's goals in crafting the Mishnah Torah, was to take the richness of Torah Shel Peh, which most of the works of Chazal are conversational, like the Talmud Bavli, and to reorganize things into strict logical order. So he spent a very significant amount of time thinking about how to organize everything and devise his own categories. And in thinking about how you'd organize all the halachas of Kachim, he actually, in a certain sense, organized it like Chumash as opposed to the Mishnayos. Mishnayos start with the detailed dinim of Karbanos, Vachim, Menachos, and so forth. Near the very end of the Seder, you talk about what the Beis HaMikdash looked like. Midos, Tamid to an extent. The Rambam organizes it the way you have it in Chumash. Truma Tetzav, Yaakov, Pikude, and then you get to Vayikra Tzav, and so forth. The Rambam says, first let's talk about the halachas of Beis HaMikdash, and who works in Beis HaMikdash, we'll talk about the Gadim they wear, and then we'll ultimately get which animals can be brought as a carbon, and how do you bring a carbon, and the details of what types of carbonates, and so on and so forth. So the opening section of Rambam's treatment of Kachim is Hilchos Beis HaBechir, the halachas of Beis HaMikdash. And here we have once again a brisker Rav, the last brisker Rav in Hilchos Beis HaBechir. We already saw one like this, that he, although this is officially a Sefer on Rambam, he saw the Rambam as an organizing principle. He didn't feel the need to necessarily open with a Rambam. As a matter of fact, this brisker Rav, I don't think he discusses a Rambam b'chlal. See, the Rav Shechter's treatment of this brisker Rav, he does bring in a fascinating Rambam and explains how a Ravid fits in. So let's take a look. At a din that seems very simple, maybe, and will quickly become very profound. And in trying to make sense of what's going on in the sugya, the Brisker Rav is going to introduce us to important chakira that has relevance in many, many sugyas. And this is one where it'll have a particularly interesting application. So if you have a Gemara Megillah, to open up the Daf Chavav. If you don't have a Gemara Megillah, you may want to situate yourself strategically. You can enable the fellow who brought a Megillah to give him the opportunity to do a mitzvah chesed. You're doing him a favor by enabling him to do you a favor. So here we are, Megillah Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. Once again, for those, I think between these two briskeras, we've covered all the problem that the ilum is not holding in Shir. Shir has the most Shir on third parak. We already had the last week, what was it last week, 2 weeks ago, we're handling the Sirtut. The Sirtut briskera goes to the first parak and the second parak, and now this briskera in Beis HaBechir brings us to the fourth parak. So the fourth parak is opens with a discussion of Kedusha's Bate Knesios. And the Gemara gets into a discussion of Kedushas Yerushalayim. So let's take a look. This is a Gemara that here is smack in the middle of Chavav Amud Aleph, and in the middle of a larger Shakavataria, which does not, it's relevant, but not relevant to us at the moment. Gemara talks here in Maseches Megillah, and you see on the side, also in Maseches Yuma and Maseches Bava Kamma. Gemara talks about the status of Yerushalayim. The status of Yerushalayim and the halachic history of Yerushalayim. But it starts from an interesting detail. It starts from a question of, when you think about the halachas of Eretz Yisrael, you usually think of halachas of Eretz Yisrael, or what dinim are unique to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe we think about the holiness of the soil, the Kedushas Haaretz, Trumas HaMaaser, Shemitah and Yovel, the agricultural mitzvahs apply uniquely in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe we think about Kedushas HaMikdash, the fact that Ladoros, the Mikdash specifically on Har HaBayis, even earlier, can only bring Karbanos in Eretz Yisrael. All of Eretz Yisrael perhaps shares a certain degree of Kedushas HaMikdash. Maybe you'll think of the fact that it's the greatest Makom Tefillah, that it's a primary Makom Nevuah. Maybe you'll think about the fact that Eretz Yisrael is a national homeland, it's the Mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. Reb Shechter writes elsewhere very beautifully about the different halachic, seven different halachic aspects of Eretz Yisrael. Here is a din, though. We're going to start with, once again, something that seems like a detail. Of all the dinim, that, what are the dinim that apply doctrine in Eretz Yisrael? If I ask you to list, top 10, you might not think of Tumas Saras. Deep in Parshas Metzora, we all know the three types of Saras, the Rambam presents as four. The Sefer Chinuch presents as four. The Rambam does. The saras of a person's body, saras of clothing, saras of leather, the Rambam presents as maybe couches and furniture, and saras of the home. the tzaras of the home, Pasuk says, you might, if you find the situation is that you found a nega tzaras, beveis eretz achuz aschem, in a home, in the land of your heritage. Okay? So if you go back to Florida or Illinois or Missouri or New Jersey or New York or Nova Scotia, Manitoba, and you come back home and there's this funny greenish, reddish splotch, you know, on the walls of your house, so it may or may not bring to mind a certain very infamous parody of modern Jewish music, your rock, rock, and dum dum. And you might also want to either enlist the services of a competent painter or maybe of mold removal. But there is no tumas saras in chutzlaretz. To find discoloration in the house, in the chutzlaretz, you should do something about it, maybe, but not call a kohen. It happened there in Eretz Yisrael. This is a din that's unique to Eretz Yisrael. Tumas saras is only in Eretz Yisrael. Why is a good question? Ramban says maybe it's a little bit like nevuah. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us messages. The communication is more direct in Eretz Yisrael. Tumas saras is a communication, a miraculous communication from Kadosh Baruch Hu to a Jew. Whatever it is, maybe other explanations. Whatever it is, the Torah tells us it's all in Eretz Yisrael. So here we are in the middle of Chavav Amud Aleph, Meisve. Again, this is a discussion that a medrash that appears in three places in the Bavli, here in Megillah as well as Yuma and Bava Kamma. Veveis Eretz Achuz Aschem. You know, it's a medrash. Medrash is when the Chazal organized Torah Shvateh al Seder HaMikra, al Seder HaPsukim, instead of topical or like Masechtas. It starts in the pasuk. They say it's Achuz Aschem. What does that tell you? Achuz Aschem etayim v'negalim. You only have a tzaras in a home that's in your Achuza. In your Achuza. As opposed to what? Number one, as opposed to Chutz Laaretz. But number two, the Braisa says, more subtly, Ein Yerushalayim etayim v'negalim. As opposed to Yerushalayim. That's surprising. Shalayim is the ultimate Eretz Yisrael. So, Achuz Aschem ironically eliminates Chutz Laaretz, but also eliminates the crown of Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. That's surprising, at least according to the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Ani lo shamati al makom mikdash bilvad. Oh, only based on mikdash. I don't know if that's more surprising or less surprising. Rabbi Yehuda says Yerushalayim as a whole is included in Saras. But Achuz Aschem eliminates Chutz Laaretz and Mokam HaMikdash. If you found a Negat Saras in the Beis HaMikdash, no Saras. It sounds b'chalas like an odd sort of situation to imagine. Also interesting that the word Achuz Aschem, the same word that eliminates Chutz Laaretz, is also eliminating Yerushalayim, or maybe specifically Beis HaMikdash. Goes on to say maybe Beis HaMikdash includes Mikdash Ma'ad as well. That has to do with the general sugya. They mentioned the overall sugya here has to do with the batei knesses and batei medrash. Okay, but we're left thinking. So what's going on here exactly? In what way isn't Yerushalayim based on mikdash certainly the ultimate Eretz Yisrael? Do you have a question, Rav Shah, Avil?
Yeah, it's like a technical question.
Okay.
Can just be found in like the.
That's an interesting question. We're going to come to Eva Yardin soon in a different angle. I don't remember for sure. I believe the answer though is yes. I believe you can have. I believe, but I don't. Got to look in the Rambam's Hilchos Tumah Tzaras. It's a good question. Tzaras and Eva Yardin. So the Gemara says, "B'maika mifli." So what's the discussion? What's the discussion? Achuz Aschem eliminates Yerushalayim. Achuz Aschem eliminates Mikdash and Mikdash Ma'at. Well, what's the discussion? So the Gemara explains, you know, and why would either of these not be your Achuza? So the Gemara explains as such. Tana Kama Savar lo Nischalk Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. Yehuda Savar Nischalk Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. The question is, did they divide Yerushalayim when they came in and they divide Eretz Yisrael? You learn Sefer Yehoshua. You learn Sefer Yehoshua. Here we're ready in Chumash Devarim. We began to learn this past Shabbos about the Moshe Rabbeinu's final drasha to Klal Yisrael, a month and a week long. And last week, Parshas Chumash Devarim begins with Chodesh Shvat and ends Kayadua and Zayin Adar. Moshe Rabbeinu passes away a month and a week later. And then after the avails for Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pesukim describe in Sefer Yehoshua. Yeshua leads at the Tzava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshua leads Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and they spend years conquering and years dividing Eretz Yisrael. Chazal tells us it was Sheva Shekavshu v'Sheva Shechilku. For the first 14 years after they crossed the Yarden, they were involved in the Kibush and Chiluk of Eretz Yisrael. So when they divide Eretz Yisrael into Shvatim, and a significant chunk of Sefer Yehoshua is a very discussion began the end of Sefer Bamidbar, but Lot and Yehoshua about the portioning of Eretz Yisrael after they conquered it. So this is going to go to Ephraim, and this is going to go to Gad, and this is going to go to Naphtali and Yehuda, so on and so forth. So when they divided Eretz Yisrael among the Shvatim, what happened to Yerushalayim? So that's the Machlokas. Tanakhama says they never divide Yerushalayim. They never divide Yerushalayim, and that's why it's not a chuzaschem. It's not any particular person's heritage. It was just Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim remained Klal Yisrael. And the Yehuda says, no, they did divide. They did divide Eretz Yisrael. They did divide Yerushalayim. They divide Eretz Yisrael. They divide Yerushalayim as well. So that's the question. If it was never divided, if it never became the property, apparently, of a particular shaver, a particular fellow, so then you can't call it Echuz Aschem. It's not your Echuz. That's what it sounds like. But Rabbi Yehuda says it is. Just... Okay. So then you wonder, well, how about the Mikdash? Let's figure that one out. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the Mikdash does not matame to Mr. God. So how does that work? So watch what the Gemara does. Let's see what the Gemara does. And then the Rishonim begin to talk, and the Brisker Rav is going to pounce on the way the Baal HaTosfos deal with this Gemara. The Gemara says, do we find this elsewhere? This sounds like a very fundamental question. Right, we started with like what sounded like a rabbit hole of a detail. One prat and Tumas Sarah, sort of like, you know, seems like such a peripheral din. But all of a sudden, this question of Tumas Sarah became, what's the history of Yerushalayim? Yeshua came in, did they divide it? So what happened to Yerushalayim? That sounds like a pretty central question. Does it come up anywhere else in Shas? So this Bryce has quoted a few places in Shas. But anything other than Tumas Saras, it ought to be reverberations, a question of the status of Yerushalayim, not in the present political, you know, terminology of present politics, status of Yerushalayim. What was the status of Yerushalayim in the holiest, most positive sense? Was it divided among various Jewish Shvatim, or was it never divided? Any other nafkamina sounds like a pretty fundamental question. Mar says, yes, absolutely. Ooh, put down Tanoi. It's the machlokas of other time are involved in this as well. And we're not, usually when you hear that, it means we'll quote a second brisa that also has the machlokas. No. Here what we're going to do is quote one brisa that reflects one position, one brisa reflects the other position. What are the brisas? Let's look especially at the first brisa that's going to reflect the shita. Will you tell me which shita this reflects? The sanya. Me haye bechelko shel Yehuda. The Brisa wants to know, well, which parts of Harabayis were in the Chalik of Eretz Yehuda? Harabayis, Halishkos, Vazaros, the general Harabayis outside of the Makam Mikdash itself, and much of the Azara. The Azara was the open air, in the Mishkan was the Chatzar, and the Beis Mishkan was the Azara, it was the open air courtyard that directly surrounded the building of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the Mizbeach was, that's where the Kiyar was, that was the area that was Kaddish for doing Avodas HaKarbanos. So those parts of Har HaBayis were in Eretz Yehuda, whereas Chelko Shel Binyamin, Ulam Heicha Beis Kachshei Kachshim. The building, which had various parts, Ulam Heicha Kachshei Kachshim, you had the Aron, you had the Luchas, Bayis Rishon, and we had the menorah and the shulchan and so on and so forth. The building was Binyamin. So the outer area of Yehuda, the building was Binyamin. Okay, interesting. And then
The Braisa goes on to say, Uritsua ha'isa yotzeis michelko shel Yehuda v'nechneses b'chelko shel Binyamin. And there was a strip that extended a little deeper from the chelok of Yehuda, close to the ulam, close to the building, uba mizbeach banoi, and that's where the mizbeach was built. That's where the mizbeach was. The Braisa gives a whole discussion. Binyamin, it bothered Binyamin. That's the way things were set up. The mizbeach was included in chelok Yehuda. So what does this Braisa tell you? What shita does this Braisa reflect? You tell me. What's the status of Yerushalayim? Divided, right? Clearly divided. Yeah. Ah, a second. So the Mikdash, it's Frekta Kiva. The Mikdash itself was divided. The Mikdash itself was divided. Ooh. The Mikdash itself was divided. Such a good kasha that we don't have. There are different sets of Balayatos and different Masechtas. See, here Tosas doesn't. Tosas has other comments. But Tosas Yishanim. I'm sorry, I made a mistake on the typo, on the cut and paste typo. On the Marmakamas in front of you, the middle, on the first page, the middle Marmakam should say not Tosas Yishanim, but Vakam Pei Beis and Beis. Tosas Yishanim Yuma Yud Beis and Rav. Toshami asks exactly that question. Maishna beis hamikdash b'Yerushalayim. According to Yehuda, Yerushalayim was the Tzachak l'Shvatim. So, and therefore there could be a, tumas saras in Yerushalayim. Zava beis hamikdash. Imishu b'Yerushalayim nechalekas l'Shvatim. It's because Yehuda holds that that the division, the chiluk of Eretz Yisrael, including Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash Nami Nechalak, Beis HaMikdash also divided. Kedesanya, Mehayu Bechelto Shal Yehuda. The proof, the source for this notion that Yerushalayim was divided is talking not about the residential area. It's talking about Har HaBayis and Beis HaMikdash and Azara and Kodesh HaKadosh. Everything was divided. So what's Rabbi Yehuda thinking? Tana Kama says they didn't divide Yerushalayim. Shut. And the Gemara goes on to quote a Braisa to support that. That has to do actually with the residential areas. There are limits to the extent to which you have rights over your home if you're Yerushalayim because of Nischalka Shot. Okay. But if you say Nischalka, it was Nischalka even the Harabais. Right. So the Gemara, the Tosi Yishanim says, well, Yesh Lomar, you see inside the middle of the first page, it's true that initially they divided it. In the days of Yehoshua, I have to think historically. Tosi Sharm says, well, you have to know, this is a medrash. The point, I think Rashi quotes it towards the end of a Sefer Bamidbar, I think in Paraglam Beis. Medrash says, and tell you it's a Sefri in the very end of Chumash Devarim, Shalo Chilku Doshan Shal Yericho Litn L'Misho Yehei Beis HaMikdash Vayim B'chelk. The Tosa says, according to Yehuda, they initially divided everything, but then they made Har HaBayis, they rebought it on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Either there had been some other public land in Yericho that had never been divided, and they gave it to the people who owned it, or Tosa is going to quote another version, is that when David took bought that mountain from Aravna Yavusi, the Kanani who lived there, he used the money they had collected from all the Shvat. Okay. So what do we have? Let's just keep Cheshbon here. We have two opinions. Tana Kama says, Yerushalayim, lo, nisaka. Okay, the whole Yerushalayim is lo, nisaka. Therefore, there's no nigei batim, even sure. That's the position of Tanakam. Yehuda says Yerushalayim was Nisralka. Okay. And therefore,
there are Nigei Batim Yerushalayim. Aval Lo B'Mikdash. Yehuda says, Yehuda agrees, but there was no Nigei Batim Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Yeah. What do you mean? And that's what Tosi Yisharim is saying, that the reason why the Mikdash is nega free is because originally they were mechalik it, but they later bought it back. Rashi may or may not be saying the exact same thing. Okay, now one second. So now think about this a little bit. So Tanakhama says they never divide Yerushalayim at all. Rav Yehuda says they divide Yerushalayim like everything else in Eretz Yisrael, but the Beis HaMikdash need to be public, so they rebought it. Anything striking is interesting about that? In other words, the Yehuda holds that just the Mikdash is public. Tanakhama holds the whole Yerushalayim is public. But
if they rebuy it, how does it become public, right? Because like in Yovel stuff returns.
Oh, okay, good. How public is it going to be if it's rebought? Apparently this was somehow done in a way that was permanent, which is an interesting question. And now let's take a question and think about it the other way. How did Beis HaMikdash become public, according to Rabbi Yehuda? Through a buyback. Right? They divide everything and they bought back Yerushalayim with public money, or with public land. They bought back Mikdash with public land. How did Yerushalayim stay public, according to Tanakhama? They never divided to begin with. Anything strike you as interesting about that?
History.
Okay. Okay. Tosis asks Kasha in Bava Kama, with which the Brisker Rav opens, which is I understand. Take a look, you have this Tosis in front of you. Let's jump in from the middle, the Im Toma. The first few lines are essentially saying what we saw in Tosis Yishanu, but less directly. The Im Toma, so you saw it picking up from Tosis Yishanu. Well, mean nali do lotus chal kamash. I understand. Tanakhama basically holds that all of Yerushalayim is public. The Yehuda holds only the Mikdash is public. Okay. But so okay, you could say we haven't even thought about the why, but apparently there's some need for the Beis HaMikdash to be public. Okay, I can sort of understand that. Beis HaMikdash has to be Kalal Yisrael. So it sounds a little bit like Yehuda holds only the Mamash of the Mikdash and Tanakhama holds now the whole Yerushalayim. We haven't yet gotten to the why. But what's interesting is there are two different ways to make things public. Yehuda says all the Mikdash needs to be public, and they originally divided everything, including the Mikdash, and then they just bought it back to make it public. Right? But Tanakhama says, no, the whole Yerushalayim needs to be public. Why don't they just buy it back? Well, why not? Why? In order for Yerushalayim to be public, divide it. Take a look at Tosis. In Tomer Nolit, he first wants to know, well, how do you know? How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda, that Tanakhama holds? It wasn't, before we even get to the why. How do you know that Tanakhama holds it was never divided? Dilma Savar Nischalka, maybe it was divided, but when they did the buyback, they didn't just do the buyback, when they gave Dasha Shalericho public land to buy it back, it wasn't just like Yehuda says, they Nischalka, but then they bought back the Mikdash with public land, maybe Tanakhama holds, they bought back the whole Yerushalayim with public land. How do you know that Tanakhama holds they never divided? So
So Tosfos is something mysterious. Yesh lomar, beis hamikdash svarahu. Afagav din eschalei chazur v'kanul oso. So that all Klal Yisrael should have a chelek. And beis hamikdash, it makes sense to divide and then buy back. Yerushalayim, if they were originally divided, lama hayu chazur v'kanul oso. There would be no point in dividing Yerushalayim and buying it back. Well, mysterious. I understand. Do you want to be public? You don't want to be public. Yehuda holds that the mikdash needs to be public, but then we should divide and put it back. Tanakam holds all Yerushalayim has to be public. So why not say there also? They divide it and put it back. Tosa says, no, that wouldn't make sense. Why? Why? So Biskrov says, this is a mysterious Tosas. But let's put the Tosas aside. Let's talk about a more fundamental question. Now take a look at the Biskrov inside. And if the ins and outs of the Shakavatari of Tosas lost you, I think the Biskrov will actually help to center us and clarify us. So let's actually, the Biskrov begins the first few lines just by summarizing what we learned. Hopefully helpful recap. I'll be glad to take any questions. And then he sort of dives into the heart of the question. Baba Kama, Daf Pei Beis, and Daf Pei Beis. Told you the Gemara here, you have the Megillah, the Yuma, the Baba Kama, Tzara Jara Nebu Yishalayim, Ten Eshkep Yishalayim, and the Tam Tu Nidav. No Nidav Yishalayim, Kuran Tana Kama, Dechziv, Achuz Atzchem, Yishalayim, Lonus Chakul Eshvat. The Tosa says, if you think about the Gemara saying, Ein Lefarsh, Shed Nishalka, Nasa Dosh, Shed Yishalayim, according to Tana Kama, what did it apply to? It's clear, the way our Gemara Megillah, the Gemara Yuma says, they really, the question, was it divided? Was it not divided? Go shuv hikshu. You know it. Where did that come from? The Hayitana Savon Neschalka. How do you know that they were Mechalik? They were Savon Neschalka. Maybe they were Mechalik, but they bought it back. Kemal Levi Yehuda, who says Neschalka. The Tirtzu, here we are, the Beis HaMikdash Svaru, Beis HaMikdash, it's illogical to Avagav the Neschalik Chazur B'Kanoso. There would be a reason, even if Beis HaMikdash had been divided, to buy it back. So that all Shkadesha Lechol Yisrael Chelak Bo. So that all Jews will have a Chelak in the Beis HaMikdash. B'Yerushalayim, in Mitchil, Nischalka, Lama Yechoz Nekonusa. If they originally divided, why would they buy it back? Ayin Kav Dalet. Ad Kan Dvarov. And now the Briskrav says, what is going on? Question number one. Chor Divei Tosef Tzrichim Dir. What's the Hezber for Tosef is saying? L'man Dabu Yerushalayim Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. If Yerushalayim was never divided, why was it not divided? Obviously, Tanakama holds that Yerushalayim needs to be public. It needs to belong to the Jewish people. Alf Lamed Hayes, the Elav Hachi, if not, Lamed Lamed Chalka. Why wouldn't they divide it? What's the default? Did they divide Chevron? Was Chevron given to a particular Shevet? Was Tveria given to a particular Shevet? What's the default? I have a piece of Eretz Yisrael. Did they probably give it to one particular Shevet or not? What's the default? Yes. Why? Because God told the Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Jewish people that we're supposed to conquer Eretz Yisrael and divide it. That's part of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael was to give it out to a particular Shvatim. So the default is you do chiluk. So why does Tanakhama they didn't divide it? Because Maishna. Here, the last line down to the next page. Maishan Yerushalayim b'kol Eretz Yisrael shayidina b'kibush v'chilah. Why was Yerushalayim different? Because all of Eretz Yisrael did require, halachically mandated, that the Jewish army was supposed to conquer and then the Jews were supposed to divide. So why would Yerushalayim be different according to the Tanakhama? Why would the Tanakhama say Yerushalayim lo nischal b'shvat? Why would the Tana that Bryce said by Yehuda and Binyamin, different parts of the Mishnah, Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be divided, but Yerushalayim is special, Yerushalayim is different. Yerushalayim has to be the national city, has to belong to all Klal Yisrael. Okay.
הרי יש לומר, וגם הפתעה זה פרייס דבר כמה כך צריך לבית קרדים. Maybe he holds, yeah, it has to belong to all of God Israel. But why? But there's another way for it to belong to all God Israel. Shemhachi chazir v'kar osa. Maybe they did divide it, but they bought it back. So all God Israel would have a chelek. Kamol Ri, v'vakar mikdash. Yehuda holds that the Beis HaMikdash has to belong to all God Israel. So they divided and they bought it back. So Tosa said, well, it would make sense to buy back the Beis HaMikdash so that all the Jews would own it. But it wouldn't make sense to buy back Yerushalayim. What do you mean it wouldn't make sense? Obviously, if he thinks they weren't going to be Mechalik, it's because Yerushalayim, there's a reason for that. Because Yerushalayim has to belong to God. So why wouldn't they want to buy it back? And now he says even more directly in the next Dira Maskam. Let's leave Yerushalayim out. Let's just look at the one area that they both agree have to be public. What area do both Tanakama and Yehuda hold have to be public? Beis HaMikdash. Right? Do they agree? You sure? Well, sort of, but they got to it in two different ways. Right? Because the Tanakama holds, it never divided. The Mikdash. The Yehuda holds, and the kind of that other price, Yehuda, you know, they divided, but then they bought it back. Here it's Archim HaKam Mikdash. The first paragraph is by Yerushalayim, the second paragraph, which will also be Kashas, the two paragraphs of Kashas, see the third paragraph, the Venere is going to begin to solve things. But in line up the Kashas, he says, let's sharpen our focus. Let's just talk about HaKam Mikdash for a moment. Right? You just told me correctly that everyone agrees that Mikdash has to belong to all of Klal Yisrael. The rest of the city, Yerushalayim, is a machlokes Tanakh and Yehuda. But they both agree, Mikdash itself, all of Klal Yisrael. And yet, they agree to the result, but they seem to disagree about methods. Rabbanan lo nischalak me'ekar. Chamal, they never divided originally. Ulari, according to Yehuda, they did. They bought it back. Either they bought it back by swapping it with what had been public land in Yericho, Nasnu Doshna Shayricho Tatea, or Ayezesh Shekana David is Hagoren, where Rabna Yelusi when David, towards the end of Sefer Shmuel, buys what had been our Rabna Yelusi's threshing floor, Hara Maria, and he buys it from him, Bekesef Kalashvatim, he buys it. Using money of all the Shvatik, him of Ur, Pirish Rashi, the Yumadav, Diaf Yabez, maybe that's what you're referring to, Jojo. But however they did the buyback, Lamaisa, Tanakhama holds, Mikdash was public because they never divided to begin with. Yehuda holds it was public because they had been divided, they bought it back. So that could bother us in two ways. In a symmetrical way, and in a very asymmetrical targeted way. He says, look, everyone agrees. The Kuyam, Bashas Bin HaMikdash, by the time David's son Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash on that mountain, Kevar Hoya HaMakom Shayach L'Chol Yisrael. By that point, the Jewish people publicly, communally, together owned Har HaBayis. MK, version number one of the question. Tzarech Bir, once again, that's Tzarech Bir is your... flagged terminology. Tzarechin is a kasha. Tzarech bir means I want to understand the lumbus. What's going on? What are they arguing about? Tzarech bir ikar pluktas of Yehuda the Chachamim. What's the root of their machlokas? Be'ezet tam pligi. If there are two different ways to make mikdash public, so why would Tanakhama say they never divided? Yehuda said they divided it a buyback. What's going on? And here we're really getting to the heart of the machlokas. And then he says, it says, my time in the Mandam Nischalka, my time in the Nischalka. What does it matter? Is there enough Kusa for Chilak Din Yesh B'Din? Is there enough Gavina? But they never divided it, or they divided it and bought it back? Does it matter? What? But they both agree there's no Tzaras in Mikdash. Right, early on, historically, right. Now I want you to think historically. He says, but by the time it gets to Beis HaMikdash, Sof kol sof ikka makra ma mikdash shaykh atal chal Yisrael. Does it really matter? So that's one way of asking the kashas, you know, sort of open-ended, symmetrical. We have two different opinions, but why does it really matter? It's sort of funny that they're arguing over how they made it public, l'mayin nafkamina. But then the Briskerov says, if I have two shitos, I can just sort of ask in an open-ended way, what's the difference? Or I could ask in an asymmetrical, targeted way. One of them should bother me. And here the Briskerov introduces us to thinking about, he doesn't use this terminology, but here Gilan Rabbein Lomar, Shachter often trained us to ask, you have a two shitos, you have to often have to ask yourself, what's the muskel rishon? What would you have thought at first glance? If you wouldn't have heard either shita, you just would have heard, what would you have thought? And that's important to ask yourself which one on the prima facie seems more logical, because then you have to ask yourself, whichever shita say the other way, he has the burden of proof. Why wouldn't you say like the muskel rishon? So you tell me, we have two shitos here. Leaving out the Yerushalayim piece for a moment. Within the Mikdash, both the Gret, the Briskerov helped us to sort of sharpen, leave out the Yerushalayim. Within the Mikdash, they both agree it belonged to Klal Yisrael by the time they built the Beis HaMikdash, but two different ways of getting to Mikdash being public. They divided and rebought, or they never divided to begin with. Which strikes you as the easier, more natural, simpler postures? Divide and bought. Anyone disagree? Some of you think it would make more sense to never divide. Okay. Those who say it makes sense to never divide, that would be the easier way is blow the schalta. Why? Why is there more passion? Fewer steps, right? Simpler. Let it say, you're saying, if it needs to be public, don't make a problem and have to solve it. Why do you have to get the eraser for? Oh, we're going to divide it and then we're going to erase it just to get it right the first time. If it needs to be public, leave it public. Okay, good. Okay, good. Did they know? That's an interesting point. Halstick's making a very sharp point. The Gemara seems to be assuming that the fact that anyone could say Yerushalayim was Havka Shvatim means they walked in knowing this place is where the mitzvah is going to be. That's to do with the Gemara later, deep into Tzvachim, about there had been some sort of tradition that it seems like Shmuel and David had to work on the sugya to sort of rediscover based on the Pesukim, where is the ultimate Makam HaMikdash? That's interesting. The Gemara points out in based on Pesukim in Re'eh, I believe, that it was already the sugya at the end of Tzvachim. You haven't yet come, the Pesukim say, to the resting place and the inheritance of Menucha Nachla, and therefore right now you can bring karbanas on a backyard bum, a makeshift spot. So the Tanam tell us in the closing prop of Mizvachim that what that implies is that once you, there's going to be a place where there's going to be a more permanent mikdash, Menucha, and when you have that mikdash, you can't bring karbanas on the bama, only the mikdash. But that won't be really permanent. That'll be for a while, and that's going to be rescinded. But then it's going to be a super permanent nachal. That's going to be forever. So that's what Tanam explained. That's Shiloh, and then the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim. So Kozman that they had Mishkan Shiloh for several hundred years. You learn Sefer Shoftim, you learn the beginning of Shmuel. So Shiloh stood for several hundred years, and during the time of Shiloh, Shiloh functioned in many ways as a Beis HaMikdash, until the days of Eli HaKohen, the destruction of Shiloh. And during the days of Shiloh, you couldn't bring a carpet in the backyard, bama, but Shiloh, that was already built in. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Chumash, Shiloh will not be forever. When Shiloh is gone, we go back to the Heter Bamas. But then there'll be Nachala. Nachala is based on Mikdash, Yushalayim. Once you have that, that's forever, forever. And then that's the end, forever after, of the Heter Bamas. So we knew that there was going to be a temporary Mikdash and a permanent Mikdash. Okay, so since so the Gemara is assumed least Yushalayim is Chalkal Shvatim, means that there was already an understanding from Meirosh where that final place, the Makam Mashiach of Hashem. Yeah, so that's an interesting piece. So one argument to say, they were never machalik it, is to say, get it right the first time. We have to make problems and then undo them. On the other hand, an interesting question is, well, did they know necessarily? To say Yerushalayim is Chalkos, Yerushalayim, you know, maybe Lon is Chalkos Shvatim because they didn't even know. Another issue. Maybe they weren't Machat. Sorry, that would be Yerushalayim is Chalkos Shvatim. In Yerushalayim is Chalkos, they didn't know. Lon is Chalkos Shvatim involves known. But let's go back to basics. Yeah, what do you say?
Yeah, with David, is there an emphasis that he bought away everyone's money and it goes through the entire base row? Because otherwise, there's no need to know that. The only fact that it was through everyone was that it must have been...
Okay, good. So all of you are making very good points in terms of facts, specific facts, data points. Let's also ask a larger question. In terms of mitzvah HaTorah, you're right. If they didn't know where the location was, obviously they were mechalak Yerushalayim. They had no choice. But to mechalak everything, we'll figure out later what we need to buy back. What mitzvahs were in play? Ideally, let's say you have all of your options. What would you ideally want to do? So on the one hand, ideally, let's get it right the first time. Let's leave Yerushalayim, you know, the way it's ultimately supposed to be. On the other hand, the Brisker Rav says, Otsarachim,
we said before, he had already been setting us up for this way of thinking in the when he got started in the first paragraph. He said, why should Yerushalayim be different than the rest of Eretz Yisrael? What, I asked you before, what's the default? Was where the Mechalak Tveria? Was Tveria given to a particular Shevet? Of course, why? Because there's a mitzvah, Kibush V'chiluk. There's a mitzvah, Kibush V'chiluk on Tveria. There's a mitzvah, Kibush V'chiluk on Tzvat. There's a mitzvah, Kibush V'chiluk on... throughout Eretz Israel. So what's the default? If I have a choice to be mechalik or not be mechalik Yerushalayim, what's the default?
Mechalik.
I have a mitzvah of kibush v'chiluk. I, but Eretz Israel, I can mitzvah of kibush v'chiluk. Kedich siv v'kra. Yerushalayim osa. Yishavtim ba. Because based on mikdash, alachar dal me'ev shon v'kizas ha'aretz. Based on mikdash, that's going to come in centuries. There's going to be a Shiloh for a long time, and the Shiloh's going to happen, and then we'll get to Yerushalayim. So you got plenty of time. So on the one hand, you argue, let's just do it right the first time. On the other hand, I have the opportunity, Brisker Rav argues, to do a mitzvah d'oraisa. Part of Kibush Eretz Yisrael is a chiluk. So in a couple hundred years from now, it'll need to be public land. So I have to already now leave it on... undivided, so that hundreds of years from now it'll be ready. Maybe Brisker Rav, and one could have argued that Brisker Rav argues though that when you have a mitzvah, let's think in terms of mitzvahs. What's the accomplishment of saying up in advance? Being based on mitzvah is going to be later. Rabbanan, Panakama, Loma BMS, Lo Chilkos Amikad. Why were they not? Why didn't they initially divide it? Ikatakanda, the Kenia. There's a simple solution. We'll divide it now. And a few hundred years from now, we'll figure out how to buy it back with public funds, with public land outside in the Yericho area, or with public funds that we'll collect from all of Israel. If you're wondering, well, public funds, that's going to be complicated. Remember, when you're bringing carbon to Sibur, you have to collect public funds every year anyway. Machs da shekel. How do you bring a carbon tamid? How do you bring a carbon musaf on Shabbos or Yetzir? You always have to, public funds are an ongoing need in Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so we'll cut public funds for their real estate as well. But, so Brisker Rav says, if you're thinking, that's the way he wants to think about it. The way he chooses to think about it is, if I have two ways, leaving Yerushalayim now, once again, Tanakhama says, oh, Yerushalayim is public, but specifically, Mikdash is public. I have two ways to get to the same bottom line. The Mikdash is public. Rabbi Yehuda says they're mechalik, they bought it back. Tanakhama says they're never mechalik. So Brisker Rav says, again, and just to recap for a moment, then we'll begin to appreciate where he's going. He says, you look at that machlokas, so that, just to appreciate what he did for us. Tosa started asking kashas, and that started getting us a little flustered about Yerushalayim, and there was a confusing shock of the Torah. So So he said, okay, we can talk about Yerushalayim, whether Yerushalayim, whether Mechal Yerushalayim or not. So let's put that aside. Number one, let's focus on what seems to be similar. The point at which Tanakam and Yehuda most are closest to each other, they both agree Mikdash is public, and yet even there's a divergence. How is it public? Then he asks, number one, the general Tzarech Bir, Levi Nafkamin. I see a curious pattern, curious phenomenon. Two Tanam argue over what's the right method to get to the same conclusion. I wonder what's going on there. But not only am I curious as a Lamdin, but I also attack. Not just open Tzarech Bir, but as we just saw, he rephrases as, well, one of them is Shver. Why? Because which one should I have said? He says, well, let's think about it. What are the advantages and disadvantages? And again, a lot of great suggestions here. Maybe the pushback could be one of the suggestions. But he says, the overriding consideration is, I have two ways of getting to the same conclusion that by the time he built the Beis HaMikdash, the Mikdash is public. One of them allows me to mekayim the mitzvah of kibush v'chiluk and Yerushalayim for 400 years. The other one, I'm a vatzalit for 400 years. And for what? Either way, the Mikdash will be public by the time I need it to be public. By the time Shalamel builds the Beis HaMikdash. So what would possibly... What would possibly warrant, what gain is there? So you should not be Mechalek Yerushalayim. The Tanakam would say they had to be Mevatel the Mitzvah of Kibush V'Chiluk on this piece of Eretz Yisrael for 400 years. For what point? So number one, you're right, that to say what Mechalek Yerushalayim presumes that they already knew that was Mechalek Yerushalayim. Okay, that's one issue. Even the Namiach, maybe that's not so difficult. Even if they knew, why would they choose to? Well, just for simplicity, we're not going to mechalik to begin with, but we're mechalik the mitzvah d'oraisa. We're mechalik the rest of Eretz Yisrael. We're not mechalik this. And you notice the way the Brisker Rav, he said in the past, he'll say it over again, but he adds. Take a look at the beautiful language, the way he ends this paragraph, Dear Maskel, the Himi Tarachim, the last two, three lines. Uval Karchach, it must be the Rabbanan lo mahanya ze sheyiknu ha-makam achakach. He says, you know what it must be? You know what they're arguing about? It must be that what they're really arguing about, this is the first step in peeling away what they're really arguing about. They really argue that is the Tanakama hold that buyback doesn't help. Tanakama wants something that in the publicness of the Beis HaMikdash and maybe all of Yerushalayim that buying back isn't going to accomplish. It wouldn't help to buy it back. Apparently, the Tanakama holds that once you divide it, it's too late. Buying back doesn't get it back to the way it was. It needs to be pristinely never divided. Rabbi Yehuda has a lower standard. He thinks that you can divide it by back is just as good. And he writes an interesting parenthesis. Some of the time I'll point out to him. What is that something? What is that Tanakama? Say, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you'll buy it back. It belongs to everyone. Tanakama somehow holds, buying back doesn't help. But the Brisker begins to say, I guess we want to be sensitive to the clock, and we'll continue this, hopefully complete this tomorrow night. The Brisker says, I'll just give you a little bit. The Brisker will develop over the next paragraph. And Shechter in Eretz HaTzvi, part, B'Shem the Rav, part he told me about Peh, is B'Shem Revival, and part is his own, develops further what the Brisker is saying. When you buy something back, what do you accomplish? What do you accomplish? You buy something back. Now it belongs to you, right? So apparently, Yehuda holds that all that's required is that Makkah Mikdash has to belong to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so you do divide it, and 400 years later, we'll buy it back. If you Tanakama though holds, it's not enough that it belongs to Klal Yisrael. Remember, What did Yehuda say? That other braises supported Yehuda. Said that this part of Beis HaMikdash was Bechel Koshel Yehuda. That part of Beis HaMikdash was Bechel Koshel Binyamin. Well, in a second, it had already been bought back. Right? This is after Beis HaMikdash was built. It was already bought back. It belonged to everyone. What did Bechel Koshel Yehuda, Bechel Koshel Binyamin? What did Bryce mean? What did Bryce mean? Let me ask you a question. If you have a piece of land that's Eretz Yehuda, and a Jew from Zevulun buys it, what is it?
Yeah, so
Eretz Yehuda that belongs to someone from Zevulun. Lahavdil. If a fellow from Texas buys property in Nebraska, a fellow from New Jersey buys property in California, a fellow from California buys property in Texas because he's planning to move. Amazing, yavin. So a fellow from California buys property in Texas. That land belongs to a man from California. Which law governs it? California law or Texas law? Texas law. So the Briskerov says, if Yehuda just requires that the land of Mikdash should belong to Klal Yisrael. Belong! So buy it back! Karakamot is more than just Dine Mamas. There's a status that the land has when you do chiluk, that's never going to go away. It's not the question who owns it. There was something more to it. There was something more to it. Almost like the Havdil, Washington, D.C. isn't just owned by, or parts of Washington, D.C. aren't just owned by the federal government, but constitutionally, Washington, D.C. can't be identified as being any state. It has to be stateless. Apparently, there are two dinim in the status of any piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. There's who owns it, but then there's also something more than who owns it. The Machlokes Tanakam Reb Yehuda is how Klal Yisrael dik does a mikdash have to be? Does it have to belong to Klal Yisrael? It has to be something more than something beyond money. Make sure next time we're going to develop this far more. We see a number of nafkmins that the Briskerov points out, a number of nafkmins that Rav Shechter points out, a fascinating rivet that falls into place, and hopefully a greater appreciation for the connection of Klal Yisrael to Mikdash, for the connection of Klal Yisrael to come back Mitzvah to Yerushalayim, and we should be zocheh very soon to be able to go not only to Yerushalayim but to Mikdash as well. To be continued tomorrow night. Once again, I'm glad to hold on to your Maror Makomos, or you hold on to your Maror Makomos. Stick them in your Gemara Megillah, and bring your Gemara Megillah back tomorrow night.
Why is it not a conversation that has to be public?
Why does he say it has to be public? What do you mean?
What's the reason that it has to be public?
So that's where they're...
Because it's equating, meaning seemingly the same reason why you're trying to be public and make a shelter.
Yes, that's so. Another good piece. Right, so in thinking about it, this Rav is going to take us to Drushus. At this point that we look at the Psukim, it seems like there are two different reasons why you want Beis HaMikdash to be Shal Kol Klal Yisrael, two different degrees to join Shal Kol Klal Yisrael. All right, Elchay is going to come back to that Tosfos which we started. Once he develops it, Tosfos said, by Mikdash it makes sense, Yerushalayim doesn't make sense. Once you develop it, one of the things he's going to solve is now I understand Tosfos as well.
The Tanakh, yeah. So he's having like some din override the Mitzvah say of Kivush also though.
Right.
Like, what is this level of?
So that's what you have to figure out.
Is there a bottom like?
No. He thinks. What we haven't yet done, which we need to get to, is why. Right. Where does it come from, or why? And that's sort of what we're dancing around. The Biskarab is first just looking at the what, all the demon, and sort of developing enough kashas that he can dive into the solution to everything. The next Diramasko, the Venera, it all goes back to Haidarsh and the Psukim, and Yehud and the Chacham Darsh the Psukim differently. They're different. This idea, this need for Mikdash to be Shalkal Klal Yisrael, it could be just one aspect or two aspects, and that's what's driving, all Din Daraisa, absolutely.
Right.
And maybe Din Daraisa and Mikdash, an override, we would love to do Kibush Shalkal, but we can't.